closer to God. Okay? A lot of time when we think about drawing close to God, we think about, what if I draw close to God and he sees things about me that I don't want him to know? Right? A lot of time we think about this, we think about God in that respect, that what if I do make a bold move and I approach God in such a way that he sees things that he doesn't know? He knows everything. There's nothing that we can hide from him that by us drawing close, he's not going to know. He already knows. But I believe that throughout this series of being transformed and perfected by him, that we are growing as a believer from a baby all the way up to a mature believer. And that is the purpose of being perfected. The whole theme about this series was about, we are not perfect, right? We are not perfect in the sense of the word perfect, but when you study the word perfect from the Bible, it's a little bit different of our concept of being without fault and blameless. The concept of being perfect from the word of God is being complete. Complete. Made whole and lacking nothing. So if we understand that approaching God makes us complete and lacking nothing, so what's holding us back, right? What would hold us back as believers to maybe grow from a baby all the way to a mature believer if we know that it's making us complete one stage after another? But staying away from God will keep us, even though if we've made Jesus Christ our Lord, our Savior, it might make us stay in that stage for the rest of our human life here on earth. We've never grown. We've never got to the place where we are actually actively, daily challenged by the living God. So we are called by God to approach his throne daily. And today, you brave it out in this hot sun to come and to meet together as believers, and people think you're crazy, especially in Kodiak. Why would you do this on a sunny Sunday to be here? But why you're here? You're here because you're after a God who can change and transform you, perfect you, make you complete, so that you are not lacking anything. That's what we're after, is a state of perfection, a state where we are complete and made whole. And that state can only be accomplished at any stage when we immerse ourselves in the presence of God. When we soak ourselves in the presence of God, just like what we did this morning. We soaked ourselves through worship in the presence of God. And that is our focus this morning. I know last week we took a little bit of a detective approach, right? That was pretty fun, right? That was pretty fun when we studied the rich young ruler that we know in the Bible. Like I said, it was a very important passage in the Bible that it is mentioned in Mark, Matthew, and Luke. Same story, same account was mentioned by this in such a, I wouldn't say detail, because the detail, we have to leave the Bible and go a little bit in the historical background to understand that this guy had a name. Because when we read the Matthew 19, it was just a simple man, not a simple. It was a little bit of a complicated man. He was a rich young ruler of the time. But God revealed himself through this guy that we find out later on was Nicodemus, Ben-Gurion. Remember, the last name was so important. God was connecting the dots for this man from way back in AD 66 that was written by his brother, Josephus Ben-Gurion, who made the connection back to his brother. And again in 1948, that same last name is repeated again in history by, what was his name? David Ben-Gurion. You guys have been paying attention. So the connection was made, and David Ben-Gurion was the very first prime minister of Israel when Israel was made a state, recognized as its own independent state in 1948. The very first prime minister was David Ben-Gurion. So same last name throughout. See, God was connecting the dots. So you're here today hoping that God will connect the dots in your life as well. You being here in Kodiak is not by accident. God is connecting the dots behind the scenes, making sense out of very complicated life. Your life can get very complicated, but when you draw close to God, that completeness means God is connecting these dots and making you complete so that you understand the reason why you're here. Because a lot of times we don't know why we're here. We don't know what brought us here to Kodiak. Maybe it's the Coast Guard, but you know, God works behind the scenes with the Coast Guard as well, right? Maybe it's a move that, hey, you know what, there's a better opportunity here in Kodiak. You just don't know. You're just walking the path, and you're walking the path in the dark sometimes, but you are the light as He is the light, right? You're carrying the light of God as broken vessel, just like this song. But you've received this revelation that you are growing with Him. And as you're growing with Him, the light of your understanding is shining ever so bright, connecting the dots, like just like when you study history. And you see, you know what? I understand now. I understand why God in 1948 raised up this. He was pretty old during that time when David Ben-Gurion became the prime minister of Israel. But God was working behind the scenes, just like God is working behind the scenes in your life today. So some of us are moving. This family here is moving very soon. And Sarah back there just got married, also moving. It's a stressful situation, right? Moving is not easy. If anybody move and love moving, we need to have a conversation after service, because you know what? It is not easy. I made several moves in my life. First move was made when I was in Mauritius. I left the island of Mauritius near South Africa when I was 17 years old. 16, yeah. Finished, left that, went all the way to England. That was a big move. Big move. And then after I received Christ and got direction in my life, a new direction was set. And here I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I mean, that kind of move would change everything about a person. I mean, growing up in London, England, and to leave that and go in the cow pastures of Tulsa, Oklahoma, where you see horses and cows. And that wasn't my background. My background was concrete. Concrete everywhere. But, you know, God has a sense of humor in coordinating, giving you the coordinates for your life. And as you grow with Him, God puts the pieces of all of this together. And I don't know what I'm talking about. This is not even part of the message, but here you've got it this morning. It's only in worship that we come to the understanding of what God is about, what God is doing in our own lives and sometimes in the lives of others that we are connected with. And that is the mystery behind the purpose of what God has for each and every one of our lives. It's only in worship that God can transform a broken vessel into a vessel that can house His glory. See, God was not going around and looking for the perfect one. Oh, there's a perfect. Where's the perfect one? Where's the perfect vessel that can carry my glory? God wasn't looking for that. In fact, God was looking for the most broken ones. Isn't that crazy? Our perfect God will choose broken vessels, just like this song. Amazing grace. I love the way that intertwined the old and the new. God was looking for broken people, imperfect people, to carry the perfect presence of God. That's how amazing our God is. So if you are imperfect today and you came in today and like, you know what, I'm not perfect. I'm not dressed perfectly. I don't speak perfectly. Whatever it might be, you're chosen. You're chosen. You've been chosen by him. You're the right person to carry his glory. Just look at the people in the Bible. There were real people like you and I. We talk about somebody maybe like Moses. Total normal dude, right? Broken in every part that you can think of. From the moment he was born, I mean, we're talking about trauma. That was a guy that understood trauma. Been through life and rejected by from the palace and killed somebody. I mean, he did it all. But God chose him. David, the same thing. You start with Abraham. I mean, you look at the story of the people in the Bible. They are broken. But yet, God chose them. Just like God chose you. Just like God chose me. And he's saying to us, all of us, that only in worship does he have access to do this transformation. Only in worship can God say, you know what, I need this stuff. He looks dirty. He's like a pile of mud. But I need that. Because I can turn this pile of mud into a vessel where he can carry my honor. So if today you feel like you're a pile of mud, you're probably in the right place hearing the right message. Because you need to know that. You need to know that you don't need to be perfect to house the glory of God. And this is what the scripture we have this morning is Romans 12, verse 1. It says, Paul is writing and he says, and so, dear brothers and sister, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the only kind that he will find acceptable. The only kind that he will accept is that kind that is living. Are we alive this morning? Yeah. God is not looking for the dead to bring him glory. He's looking for those that are living, that are breathing life. In worship, when we came here, hopefully we came here with a little bit of sun is shining. I'm ready to go. I'm dressed up and I feel good and I'm going. God is looking for that in the response to, oh, I can use that. Even if you came in grumpy, God can use it. Okay. So if you're done grumpy, you know, hopefully by the end of the service, you got a little bit of a smile on your face and you leave here happy. Okay. So, but God is looking for living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. He says, this is truly, truly the way to worship him. I like you, believers. I have read this scripture so many times, but I've never looked at it from the premise of worship. I've never looked at it from the premise of worship. I've always looked at it from the premise of you come to church, you bring in your holy and living sacrifice, and you lay down your life at the altar. But all of this is talking about one thing, worship. Worship. The only true way to worship him. And the word worship here, I love to study words and where they come from. And so it's like a passion of mine. It comes from an old Anglo-Saxon word. Worth-ship. Worth-ship. It's a declaration of how worthy God is. So when you're worshiping, that's what you're doing. You're declaring how amazing, how worthy your God is. So never take for granted the time that we set aside to worship. Because you're declaring to God how worthy he is. How amazing he is. How amazing he is, only you will know, only you will experience. Because you know in the course of your life, from your journey, where you've come from, how amazing God has been. I don't know your story. Like, you don't know my story. I share it because I have an opportunity here to actually share with you a little bit of my story. But my whole story points to him. Just like if you really stop and consider where you've come from, your whole story, I guarantee you, will point to him. Your story of where you come from, the way that he coordinated your life, the good, the bad, the ugly, the way that he pieced it all together was to bring in glory. Even if you went through the most tragic episodes in your life, God was still behind the scenes putting it all together, and here you are today. Like, listen, how long have you been here on the island?
I invaded the island.
Invaded. 2005. And I don't know what circumstances brought you here. God did, right? God did. Whatever happened way back when you were in Anchorage, God used those situations. Those episodes, whether it was good, whether it was bad, whether it was ugly. But God pieced it all together and brought you here. And here you are. Invaded Kodiak. I mean, we all have that similar story. It might be a short period of time, maybe a couple of years. But whatever the time is, God is in charge. God is in charge of the time. Neither you or I, we don't know. We are just trusting him along the way. We're like, Lord, I heard you yesterday to be here, and here I am. And that's all it takes. You don't need what tomorrow is going to look like. You don't need to know what next week or next month or next year. Could you just trust him today? So as you come to worship, it's an act of trust. I'm just showing up today hoping that I will have a face-to-face encounter with this amazing God, that only him can truly change and transform my life. And really, according to the word, that's the only way that means worship. It's that sacrifice that you set everything aside, the sunny days, the heights, the everything else that you know that you could be doing. You said, you know what, let's set that aside. It is important. We love that. I love to go out and play soccer with my kids, but you know what, now's not the time. Now it's not the time to do this. Well, after church, yeah, we will be going out and playing soccer. We will be going out there doing whatever we want to do. But I've set this time aside to truly worship him. And that's the sacrifice. That's the only thing that he's saying that will be acceptable. See, worship is this. It's this inward experience. But it's not such inward that nobody knows that you're worshiping. It's this inward experience that comes out. That comes out of you even now when I'm talking. It's this inward experience that I have with the Holy Spirit that is in me that comes out in this funny looking dude that is standing there and giving you a message. But that is the way, that is the expression of worship. It is not just we're going to sing three songs and then we're going to time God on this and then we're going to get out of here. That is truly not worship. That is putting God on a time frame. But even though I'm saying, Lord, you know, we want to get out as quickly as possible. But then again, he's the one that controls the clock. He's the one that controls the clock of your life. the time frame, what he says goes. So when you get into that place when you say, Lord, you know what? What you say goes. And this is the place where God said, you know what? I can work with this mud. I can work with this mud. It looks like a rock on the outside, but it's really mud in my hand. And if it comes to me like that, I can use that. And that is what God is saying, is to get into this place of worship where you are experiencing him on the inside. But God is too good to remain on the inside. He's coming out in the way that you conduct yourself and on the job, that the way that you talk to somebody on the street, the way that you represent him at Safeway, Walmart, wherever you go, you're carrying this light, and that light is attractive to others, especially unbelievers. When they see you, like, why do you shine like this? Why do you look like this? Why do you not react to what you're hearing, to what you're seeing in the way that everybody else does? Well, why? Because let me tell you why. You know, that gives you the opportunity to actually give a meaning to the reason why you're here even today. You're worshiping. You're declaring the worth of God, not just to yourself, because you got to do it within yourself, whether you feel like it or not. But especially when you go out, when you travel, when you change state and you move, is that life going to be carried forward where you go? That is the worship that God is after. And it starts with you. And it starts with you surrendering to God. It's an act of surrender. And Paul is making this plea to us. He's like, dear brothers, surrender yourself to God because of all these things that he's done in your life. Because of all the pieces that he's carefully put together, surrender your life to him. See, surrendering is a way of that sacrifice that is only acceptable to God. That's you surrendering it. And it's not just something that you did like 10 years ago. It's a daily thing. It's a daily act of surrender, and it comes with a price. It comes with a price. Just like what we studied last week in the rich young ruler, that there was a price to be paid. The price was Christ needs to be first. Christ needs to be number one in your life. That was the price. That was the price to be paid. And you know the story. I know the story didn't end like this, but the account that we have in the Bible, it says that the rich young ruler, he went away sad, sorrowful. Why? Because God was not number one. God was not number one. So if you missed last week, you really need to go in. That's an amazing detective work that we did as a congregation, being able to piece together the behind the scenes of what was happening here. But here Paul is exposing something totally different. He's talking about the act of worship itself as an act of surrender to God. And he said surrendering is the only sacrifice that God will find acceptable. That without surrendering, there is no worship. There is no true worship if we don't surrender to God. He says this is the only way to worship. That's pretty powerful here, right? When he's talking about the act of surrendering to God, and he said, this is the only way. There's no other way to worship him, except that you come and you offer your body as a living sacrifice. The only kind that is acceptable to him, and that is the only way to truly worship him. So how should we worship him? We praise him, right? We praise, we sing songs to him. We worship him knowing that he's an amazing God. We're exalting his name, and we're declaring not just one time, but continually, we were singing continually every day, every minute, every hour. We sing a song, we representing him through worship. And David says this in Psalm 34. He says, I will praise the Lord at all times. All times. Whether it's good times or bad times, whether it's raining outside or it's the sun is shining 70 some degrees outside, I'm going to praise him at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come. See, that's the invitation that God gives to you and I. Every single time, every single day. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. That's the power of this congregation, having a corporate time of worship, declaring corporately how amazing God is. See, that was the plea that Paul had for us to be able to meet. Because you can praise God anywhere, anytime, at home, as you're driving. But there is something different when you come in corporately, as a group of believers, even now, to come in and to worship him. See, a lot of times we have this misconception in the church that worship is only the first 15 minutes or 20 minutes of the service. And then it's over. Worship is the whole thing. Worship is the whole entire thing. Worship is on your way here to church this morning. Worship is as you're coming in, greeting people, talking. Worship is why we're here when we are singing. We are singing praise to God. Worship is the message itself. As you're allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to you. I know it's words that we say, but the Holy Spirit might be using the word that is being spoken here and minister to you in a level that I can't. Only him. Only him. Remember the audience of worship, it's never us. It's always him, the audience, and the audience of one. It's an audience of one. It's always him. That's why we can sing in the church and we sound awful. Well, I mean, we're not singing to Miss Amanda. Can you hear my voice there? Hey, I get that note pretty good about my neighbor.
You have to sit in front of me, so I feel bad for you.
Yeah, I hear you.
Lord said make a joyful noise. He never said it had to be good.
Exactly. So, but who's your audience when you're worshiping? You're not trying to make myself happy. Like, oh, I can hear that note there. Whoa, I did it. No, the audience is him. We can be loud and crazy. You can sing on every single note that exists in the sound. Whatever that deal is. You can create your own notes. It doesn't matter. Because guess what? You're trying to please him. You're making this joyful noise because he is the only audience that you're after. You're trying to get his attention. No one else, not your spouse, not your neighbor, no one else. You're trying to get his attention. You're trying to say, Jesus, I'm here. I'm here. And he's like, I know you made it in church today. That's great. So he's wanting you to actually come and have a conversation like a normal person. He's not trying to, he's not looking for any of that. He wants you to be as real you can be, right? He just wants you to show up and be in his presence. And that's what he's after. That's the only sacrifice he said that is acceptable. Anything less, anything other than this is fabricated. It's not even real. And God is not even pleased with that. Come as you are, make your loud noise, make whatever you want to do. Just come and be in his presence. That is worship. I don't know if you've been taught something different, but worship is declaring his worth. No matter where you are, here Paul is making this plea for assembly, gathering of believers to declare how amazing God is. So, okay, should a believer be worshiping privately, or should a believer be worshiping corporately? The answer is yes. Yes to both. Yes to both. Worshiping privately, at home, in the car as you're driving, but also worshiping corporately, as you're doing now in the church, when you're able to join in and not just singing, but you're here listening to the message. So yes to both. Do both. But I want to point out to you something that is very relevant. Maybe you don't think about it that way. But the enemy is against corporate worship. Do you feel like that? I mean, maybe it's my job, okay? Because I'm a pastor. So I'm like, okay, the church is empty. People don't care about worship. I mean, if you were in my shoes, you probably would think the same thing too. But could it be that really the enemy is against corporate worship? I would think so. Somehow the enemy's got a funny way to start fights on the way to church. How many fights are we had on the way to church? Like, come on. You men, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes I thought, come on, because this keeps on getting on my nerves. Stop. When would you get ready? You know we go to church today. Was that that caught you by surprise? I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, these are the normal things that you and I would deal with. But the enemy has a funny way of catching us by surprise sometimes. Like, okay, I don't know that the enemy was going to come and show up today, this morning at 8 o'clock. But he did. The alarm clock went off. That's the enemy. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? It's like the enemy has this funny way to, the sun is shining. It beckons for a hike. I can find scriptures to go along with that. Oh, it's raining today. You know what? Time to sleep in. It beckons for a little extra sleep this morning, a sleeping day. But if we're not too careful, guess what we become? A fair weather believer. Would that be an acceptable sacrifice to God? A fair weather believer. Like, okay, I'll go when it feels like it. You know, this morning was a little bit hot for me. I mean, you know, the pillow felt so good. And I was like, Lord, make me a pillow believer. And Holy Spirit, come in and be my comforter. I mean, you know what I mean? You can actually come up with garbage and actually believe it. And actually, you just don't bring that sacrifice unto God. Pastors can do that. Pastors even can do that. We come to church and we just speak, because we're very good at talking. We just then go about our business. But the sacrifice is coming from within, with the compassion, with this zeal of being able to say and come and tell people the truth. That we all, at some point in time, maybe we're struggling with real life stuff. But that's the place where we bring it out in the open and we can be real to one another. And that is the part of corporate worship. Because how many of us are real to alone when we are alone? No, we lie to ourselves all the time. But when we are corporate, the people know you. Like, you guys know me. You know some of the stuff that I've done. Some stuff I'm proud of, some stuff I'm not very proud of. But this is part of being very real and said, you know what? This is exactly how Moses approached these millions of people that he eventually delivered. He was very real about his life, where he comes from. He was never put on a pedestal where he was always disrespected, Holy Moses. No, there were times he was very rough with people. But God used all these people, right? The good, the bad, the ugly. And he put all of these together. He made something beautiful out of all of us. So when we're coming to worship corporately, God is pleased. God is pleased when there is this unity among believers. I'm just going to go over a couple of scriptures there just for you to know, okay? Because I know you don't believe. Psalm 35, 18. It says, I will give you thanks in the great assembly. I will praise you among many people. And that's what we just did. We're praising God among many people. And in Psalm 122, it says, I was glad when they said to me, let us. That's mom, dad, uncle, aunts, dog, everybody that came here today. Okay? Let us go into the house of the Lord. Let's go. Let's go, family. Let's go. Let's go. And Psalm in Hebrews 10, 25 says, and let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do. They're not here today. Make sure text somebody who didn't show up today. Say, hey, the word says, let us not neglect meeting together, as some people do. Pastor's talking about you guys. You didn't show up today, as some people do. But encourage one another. Don't forget to encourage them too, okay? Encourage one another, especially that the day of his return is drawing near. The day of his return is drawing near. Guess what? When we meet together, there is something called accountability. And that's important, right? Accountable. I'm accountable to you guys. Accountability is important. That happens when we meet together. How about community? A sense of community in the church is important. Fellowship and unity. That can only happen when we gather. We fellowship with one another. We know what's going on in other people's lives. Like, you don't want you to pray for me. For real, man, I'm just making that up. Pray for us. We're getting this roof done in our house, and we don't know where the money's going to come from. So it's an act of faith at the same time as we're walking with God, because I didn't even know that this roof was bad. There was a leak in my basement. So took a picture of I can show you guys later on. Took a picture of this leak and then called the guy that does the roof, comes down, is like, well, it's a deeper problem. You know, usually I don't believe that. I mean, I'm like, no, that's no deeper problem. It's just right there. It's probably just something. I don't know anything about construction or anything. So, but the guy took pictures. He invited me to go on top of the roof and I declined. So we actually took videos and pictures of what was happening up there that I did not know. And he came down and he showed me that this roof is dangerous. I mean, it's a hazard. You could that roof can cave in anytime. I mean, it was black mold. The insulation that is in between, I don't know where it's at, but somewhere in between there's insulation, okay? He took a piece of that insulation. It was dripping with water. Black mold water everywhere. The whole thing is rotten. I don't know how this thing is staying up. But God did it. And today when I think about this, I'm thankful for what God in my, you know, blindness. I don't even know what is happening. But God was behind the scenes protecting our family. But there's a sense of community. Accountability. Like, I want you to keep me accountable, like, or pray for me. Yeah. Lord, provide for this guy and his family so that he can actually take care of this mess. And we're doing this by faith, like I'm saying, but there is this accountability that you guys need to know this, that your pastor might be going through some life situation. Oh, oof. You know what I mean? I mean, this is real life stuff. And I need prayer. I need support. I need you. I need to be able to, hey, can you come and get my kids? And, you know, they need to go wherever and I'm stuck at home because I feel like I need to supervise. I don't know about you. I don't know anything about anything. But I feel like I need to be there. just in case they need me. They don't need me. That's what Don tells me. You don't need you. Just go. Do what you need to do. So I'm here today because they don't need me. They're working on this thing. Worship starts with you surrendering to God as the audience of one. Because your hope is transformation, right? Because you don't want to stay baby. You want to grow. You want to be a mature believer. And you certainly don't want to copy what others are doing. Because we have this tendency when we're baby, because a baby copies behavior, right? If you've got little ones and they've grown, they watch what the way that you are behaving. And they tend to copy that. You better be behaving right. Because others are copying you. And if the word says, don't copy the behavior of others, right? In Romans 12, 2, just right after talking about the worship. He says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. See, God is about changing the way that we even thinking. How many of you think the same way when you were 5 years old? I guarantee you, you don't think the same way that when you were 5. But as you're growing as believers, you also don't think the same way. I certainly don't. I mean, I grew up Hindu. I didn't receive Christ until I was in my 20s in college. But thank God I don't think the same way that I used to. My mind has been changed, has been renewed, because I decided to say, I'm not going to conform. I'm not going to copy the behavior and customs that I grew up with. I'm submitting and surrendering myself to God in this transformation process into this new person. Then it goes on, it says, then you will learn to know God's will for you. We all want that, right? I want to know God's will for me. You do. I want to know what God wants me to do. But we must surrender to God's process for us to know his will for us. And then it says, which is good and pleasing. And here's that word again that we've been studying for the past 4 weeks now. Perfect. Which is good, which is pleasing, which is perfect. Here's that perfection that you and I were after. It means complete, lacking nothing. Don't copy others, but surrender. And the only way to surrender is when you soak yourself in the presence of God. That's where that transformation happens. And as God is transforming you, letting go of that old man is easy. Because you know God has got something better along the line for you. God wants you to mature. God wants you to grow up. That old self is gone. In Galatians 2:20. God says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So when sin comes knocking, guess what? You don't have to answer. You don't have to answer. Because the old self is gone. In Kodiak, he's gone fishing. Old self is gone. And we need that reminder once in a while that he's gone. The old Shannon is gone. He's no longer around. And that's something that we probably need to repeat to ourselves. And you've got to say this as well, that so I live in this earthly body today by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, this imperfect self, as I'm soaking myself in the presence of God, that's what I'm doing. I'm telling this old self, you're no longer alive, but you are under the perfect blood of Jesus. It's a constant process of being under his blood. Would you please stand as we close? So I'm going to end with an invitation. An invitation to enter a new place of worship. And I'm going to say this, okay? And don't get mad. This place of worship does not have to be called Ocean Church. It's an invitation to enter a place of worship, but it does not have to be Ocean Church. It can be anything. It can be anywhere. This place of worship is at the feet of Jesus. That's it. There is no name attached to it. There's no church that is attached to it. He is the church. Sometimes we forget that. We think about it as being a building. We talk about this a lot, things. We think about the church being a building. Being a four walls. With a name, with a label, with a denomination, whatever you have that mankind has created and made God into something that we can house in a box. Our God is much bigger than that. It took me a long journey from Mauritius to England, from England to Tulsa, Tulsa to Anchorage, Anchorage to Kodiak, to realize this, that my God is much bigger than a box. There is no name, there is no denomination, there is nothing that can house it. So I don't want you to think of Ocean's Church as the only place of worship, because it's really not. The only place of worship is at the feet of Jesus. So that's why you can take it anywhere. At home, you can be at the feet of Jesus. And certainly at church too. I don't want to downplay the church. But I want you to realize that the church is not the building. The church is you. You are the church. It's the body of believers. And Christ died for the church, and that's you. So he's asking in return, would you come to me and offer yourself as a sacrifice, as a living sacrifice, the only kind that is acceptable to him? And that is what he's after. It's just this, it's you. It's me. The broken vessel that I am. The broken vessel that you are. And he said, come to this place at my feet on the cross, where there is no shame, no guilt, and no condemnation. That is the beautiful place. Sometimes we find all of this within the church. The four walls is what I'm talking about. Guilt, shame, condemnation. But when you step aside and you realize that God is not after this, God is saying, come to a place at my feet where there is no guilt, no shame, and no condemnation, you broken vessel are welcome. That is the God that I'm talking about this morning. And in Hebrews 4:16, He says, let us come boldly. Boldly, like, you know what? I'm just going to go bold. To the throne of grace, we are made obtain mercy and grace in time of need. That is what it is about. If we want to sum up gospel of Jesus Christ, it's about every day coming to this place of worship with him. Then the broken pieces make sense. Then the journey of wherever you guys have been, then it starts to make sense. Let's pray. Father, we're here today to just to worship you. And we're not just ending this worship. We're continuing this worship even as we're driving back home and going about our business today. We are still worshiping. We know that in your presence there is fullness of joy. In your presence we can be real, just the way you've made us. And we trust you. We trust you with the things that we know and the things that we don't even know. And we know that you are the author and the perfecter of our faith. What you start, you complete. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for being here. And I hope you go and enjoy the weather. Now would be a good time to go to it.
Thinking nothing about. Yeah, no. No.